Luke 19, 1-10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and say, "He has gone to be a guest of the one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Thank you, Corey, for bringing us the Word of God this morning. Thank you to everyone else that's been leading us in worship this morning. It's so good to be together. I had a really good Sunday school, and I hope the children, you guys had great Sunday school as well. I'm just really grateful for Sunday school teachers, the preparation that you guys put into planning and getting ready. We can't give you enough thanks to those of you who teach Sunday school, and so thank you. When you read a text like this, there's one thing that comes to my mind right away. It's a song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. I think we should sing it together. So children, this is a song you maybe have heard. Here are the words. And I think the words vary a little bit, but Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And here's where it varies a little bit. But what I've learned was, and Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." Is that what you guys have heard? Kind of? Okay. "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And Jesus says, and he said, 'Zacchaeus, come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today.'" All right. Thank you. That tells the story right there. Our songs tell the story. We sing the stories, as the Green Book says. Well, this is a great text. It's a familiar text. I enjoyed revisiting it, and there's a lot to dig into here, and I was amazed the way the Spirit works. In Sunday school this morning, thinking about is salvation and is God working just something for the future, or do we see God at work today, right now? And it's a great question to wrestle with. Where we see God at work right now, and how we see the kingdom of God coming to earth. We pray the Lord's Prayer, and it's such an amazing prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I think it's such an important emphasis, especially as Anabaptist Mennonites, this is really emphasized, that the kingdom of God is here and now. And we heard that in Sunday school this morning, and we're going to hear it again in the sermon. The kingdom of God is here and it is now. And in this text this morning, we hear specifically that salvation is here and salvation is now. Salvation is a huge word. And I still remember in a, I think it was a 10th grade Bible class at Lancaster Mennonite. And it might have been Mr. Dietzel, but I'm not 100% convinced about that. But I remember the topic was talking about salvation. And of course, when we hear that word, there's certain things that we think about right away. But he challenged us to expand our view of salvation to not just something for the future, when we die and are in the eternal loving presence of God. Yes, that is an element of salvation, that as we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, as we confess our sins, as we seek to follow Jesus in our daily lives, that we are saved in that experience. But that class in that morning challenged us to imagine salvation even bigger than that. That salvation can be thought of in three different ways. It's a past event. And that salvation, God saved us when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And even bigger than that experience, it's all of salvation history that we're a part of. That the past event is part of this huge story that we're a part of. That even this story here in Luke is a part of that past saving event of God acting. But then he also said, salvation is now. Salvation is present. Salvation is always happening in our life as God is working to save the world right now. And we're a part of that. So salvation is past, salvation is present, and salvation is future, because salvation is not fully realized yet on this earth. God's kingdom is not fully come, it's not fully realized, but we look forward to the final reign of God on earth and that future salvation, that future saving of God. And I think that was really helpful, especially as a 10th grader, to reimagine salvation as bigger than just one experience in my life when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Salvation is here and salvation is now, and that's really important to a kingdom theology. And we see that in this text in Luke, that salvation is here and salvation is now. Who is Zacchaeus? He is on the margins, you could say. He's a tax collector. And he works for the Roman government. So the way it works for the tax collectors, the Roman government would go and find people that are willing to be tax collectors, and they would actually say, you need to collect this amount of money to give back to the government. But if you get more than that, you can keep that for yourself. But you have to promise us that you'll at least give us this much. And so that's why the tax collectors had such a bad reputation amongst the Jews, because they would often take more than what they actually gave back to the government. And so that is who Zacchaeus is. He's very wealthy, it says. And so he's, especially in the Gospel of Luke, the theme of wealth is a very common theme of how hard it is to be in the kingdom of God and to be consumed by wealth. Zacchaeus, we are told, is trying to see Jesus. He's trying to see Jesus. Jesus is entering Jericho, and it says that he's going to reach Jerusalem by the end of this chapter. And as Jesus is passing through, we are told that this chief tax collector is trying to see Jesus. And he's short. He can't see him. And so he climbs up into this sycamore tree to try to see Jesus. The word translated try is also included in verse 10 in this passage. Another word that maybe we could put in here that gets to the common theme is seek. He's seeking to see Jesus. He's striving to see Jesus. And people who seek the right things in the Gospel of Luke tend to find them. In fact, we hear in verse 10 that people who seek Jesus, who search and strive tend to find an odd paradox. That as they are striving and seeking, it's actually Jesus who first is seeking them out. Isn't that kind of cool? That in our seeking and striving to find God, to be aware of God's presence, it's God who first, before us, is saying, I sought you out. I sought you out before you were trying to seek me out. And that's really salvation history in a nutshell. That first and foremost, God is saving us. God is seeking us out. God is coming for us in His everlasting mercy, grace, and love. It reminds me of a poster that I saw in BibLit at Heston College. And I just love it. It says, do we choose our stories, or do our stories choose us? Do we choose our stories, or do our stories choose us? And that's really, I think it's a huge part of this text here with Zacchaeus, is that as much as Zacchaeus is trying to find Jesus and seek Him out, God first chose to seek Zacchaeus out. Do we choose our stories, or do our stories choose us? God has chosen to save us. That's good news this morning. The good news as well about this text is that even somebody on the margins can find and is sought out by God. On the one hand, we are told that Zacchaeus is short. He's a short person. And that's how he ends up in a sycamore tree. But there's also this sense that being short symbolizes something else. In another translation of short in the Greek here, least. He's the least of these. He's on the margins. And if you look in if we look at Luke 9:48, there's a text that applies to this here, I believe. And that says, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest. And again, this term being short really symbolizes being the least of these, as he was despised. And so there is this great sense in this story in which Zacchaeus, by climbing this tree in the manner of a child and embracing his littleness, so to speak, becomes one of the least of these. And it's precisely because Zacchaeus is willing to be vulnerable and humble himself in this way that he's able to welcome Jesus into his home. Just as Luke 9:48 says, for the least among all of you is the greatest, and they are the ones that welcome me. So Zacchaeus, in this vulnerable, least of these posture, is welcoming Jesus into his home. Jesus finds Zacchaeus in his tree and invites himself home with him. And Zacchaeus welcomes him as well. But what is this occasion met with? Well, it's met with grumbling among those who observe. Can you just imagine? Oh, Jesus is up to it again, inviting the sinners to his home. Inviting, or not to Jesus' home, trying to hang out with the sinners again. And indeed, this is a theme in Luke that we see over and over again, that Jesus says, you might think that they are not deserved of my presence. But my mission has always been to reach and to save those that you think shouldn't be saved. In the parables of the lost and found sheep, the lost and found coin, the lost and found son, and indeed this text as well, continues in that theme, that Jesus reaches out to the ones that aren't expected. Jesus has a mission to save the lost. even when all of the religious leaders and experts in the law thought that he shouldn't be interacting with the sinners. Salvation is here, and salvation is now. It says that Zacchaeus resolves this issue of his wealth, introduced in verse 2, by saying that he's going to give half of his possessions to the poor, and he'll pay back those he has defrauded four times what he has taken. The use of this Greek tense here is really important because it's in the verbiage of an ongoing task. Not something he will only do once, but it may mean that he's already been doing these things and he's going to continue to do these things. And that's important when we think about a posture of giving, in that we're called to continually be looking to give and meet the needs around us. Jesus proclaims then that salvation has come to that house. Salvation has come to this house. And salvation literally comes to the house of Zacchaeus in the very person of Jesus. I think when we read this text, at least for me, when I first hear that salvation has come to this house, it's the first thing is thinking, well, yeah, for future. Zacchaeus has been saved now because he has is making changes in his life and he is seeing Jesus as his Lord. But there is a much more... That is a sense of the salvation coming to this house, but there's also this very realness right now in the present that Jesus came to the house of Zacchaeus. And in Jesus was that salvation. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. I think that in that moment where Jesus says, salvation has come to this house, we see again this emphasis of looking at how God is at work right now in the present. Salvation is past, salvation is present, and salvation is future. And in Jesus, we see this redefining of salvation, that this is about bringing my kingdom to this earth right now. And so that's going to mean how the poor are treated, how those on the margins are affected, how we think about our wealth in ways that redistribute. By Jesus saying salvation has come to this house, he's saying we need to think about what my kingdom looks like on this very earth right now. So what does that look like right now for all of us? Well, we are figuring that out. We are figuring out what it means if salvation is here and now. And I think by God's grace, we are doing we're trying our best. We need God's grace every day. But we are seeing places where I believe we see salvation being here and now. One place where I see salvation here and salvation now is the incredible spirit of Whitmer Heights to work at relationships. I think that that is a sign of the kingdom. And I'm going to keep saying that because I don't think that that is something to be taken for granted. That we love one another. That we forgive one another. That is salvation here and now. The Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services and all of the great things happening in our community is salvation here and now. The work of Mennonite Central Committee to respond in Haiti right now, and us giving our financial gifts to help that, is salvation here and now. Community night, even playing games and eating a potluck meal together, is salvation here and now. And then we have some other places where I see God at work. Some of them are very troubling right now, and yet God is still at work. For example, there is incredible atrocities happening around the world with ISIS, with civil war that is unimaginable. It really is. It's unimaginable to think about the violence and oppression that's happening. And yet, by faith, we still believe that God is at work. That God is still present with those people in that unimaginable violence. And there are stories of God's faithfulness still. Or I think about the conflict right now in North Dakota with the Standing Rock. It's a huge, really, justice issue of land and water, as they call themselves water protectors. And we think about this land that is important to the Native Americans. Land that was originally theirs is probably important to name. That holds so much history and a sense of who they are and their identity. What does it mean to stand with them in solidarity when there is a push to put in a pipeline over in their land? What does it mean to stand in a spirit of prayer with them? And not just pray for the water protectors, but also for the military that is in a hard spot as well. For all of those affected by this conflict. And today they've actually asked for a vigil around the world to be remembering everybody involved in this conflict right now at Standing Rock. And so maybe we can just join in that spirit of prayer as well for them. Salvation is here, and salvation is now. One more story of where we see the kingdom of God coming to earth. It's from a recent column in the New York Times. It's called "The Power of the Dinner Table." Columnist David Brooks, and he tells the story of Kathy Fletcher and David Simpson. They had a son. His name was Santi. They have a son who went to Washington, D.C. public schools. Santi had a friend who sometimes went to school hungry, so Santi invited him to occasionally eat and sleep at his house. That friend had a friend, and that friend had a friend, and now when you go to dinner at Kathy and David's house on Thursday nights, there might be 15 to 20 teenagers crammed around the dinner table, and later there would be groups of them crashing in the basement or in the few small bedrooms upstairs. The kids who show up at Kathy and David's have endured unimaginable ordeals. Modern poverty, homelessness, hunger, abuse, sexual assault. Almost all have seen death firsthand to a sibling, a friend, or a parent. It's anomalous for them to have a bed at home. One 21-year-old woman came to dinner last week and said this was the first time she'd been around a family table since she was 11. Poverty up close is so much more intricate and unpredictable than the picture of poverty you get from the grand national debates that we hear about. Brooks writes, "I started going to dinner there about 2 years ago, hungry for something beyond food. Hungry for something beyond food. Each meal we go around the table and everybody has something to say, something nobody else knows about them. Each meal we demonstrate our commitment to care for one another. I took my daughter once and on the way out she said, 'That's the warmest place I can ever imagine.'" The problems facing this country are deeper than just the things that we hear about in the national debates. This is about real life and real people's stories. Our neighbors, my neighbors. It's a crisis of solidarity, of social isolation, a crisis of being afraid of the fear of associating with people on the margins. The kids call Kathy and David Mama and Dad, and unfailingly polite, clear the dishes, turn toward one another's love, like plants toward the sun, and burst with big glowing personalities. What might it mean, in the same way that Jesus goes to the home of a sinner on the margins, Zacchaeus, and says, salvation has come to this house. What might it mean for us to be the kind of people that can be vulnerable enough, and it's not going to be safe, I can tell you that right now, to invite people on the margins to dinner? We do it at community night. We do it in our homes too. And I know that there is people in our congregation that do this. And I think that that is a picture of salvation here and now. Whitmer Heights, salvation has come to this congregation in Jesus. And that is good news that we are called to participate in and live into. Let us pray. God, we thank you that salvation is past, present, and future. God, thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who comes to our home, who brings new life, and invites us to participate in this right here, right now. God, give us the strength, the courage, the wisdom to join you in this work. In Jesus' name, amen.